By now, you know Matthew and Brady Tkachuk won the NHL All-Star Game. Old news. What is a mystery is how it all worked behind the scenes. Today, we catch up with Papa Keith. Big Walt shares all on the Chirp with Darren Millard.
Heads up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
Hit him. Light him up.
Yeah, nice hit. That's solid.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
I'm going to run you. I'm just waiting for my shift.
Before we get right into the meat of today's episode, I got to apologize because my head's a little foggy. I was up at 3:30 this morning. We played in Nashville last night. The Vegas Golden Knights did. I did the game. And then I had to do the quick turnaround to get to Minnesota today because the Golden Knights play the Wild tomorrow. And I wanted to make sure that I was here in time to record with Keith Tkachuk. So it's really, really imperative that you be patient with me today, because the head is spinning all over the place. I don't do mornings very well. Anyway, we're back. We're playing. Great game by Vegas, beating the Nashville Predators. That was a fun experience in Nashville. It's the dad's trip. We'll get into that with Keith Tkachuk in just a little bit. The Florida Panthers, awesome performance against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Battle of Florida. How about that, getting the old engine started coming out of the All-Star break? But the games take a backseat to what happened on the weekend with the South Florida hosting the National Hockey League All-Star Game for a second time. Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk teaming up on the Atlantic Division Championship squad. Matthew following up the NHL All-Star Game MVP with a five-point game. That's a statement. He wins a car, he wins a championship, and he produces a career high, all with the family watching from their suite and having the greatest time. Tell me, you didn't really want to be in that suite with them. Like, you were just wishing somehow you were related to the Tkachuks, as Sister Taryn, mom, dad, grandparents, everybody having some fun. Wanted a little bit of background on what Walt, Keith Tkachuk, went through this weekend in experiencing this with his two boys, he and Chantel. So reached out to him, longtime buddy, back from our Winnipeg days, and he was gracious enough to join us on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Have you had the biggest nap of your life in the last 2 days?
Yeah, I might have to hibernate for a while. it was a good one. We did a lot here. Yeah, my wife and I got down here Tuesday. And then Matthew had a big party for the trainers that were working the locker room from the Panthers and a bunch of people over. And then Thursday, we had people in, family in. And then Friday, obviously Saturday. And then by Sunday rolled around, it was like, I was done. I needed a vacation.
How many people did you have down as part of the Tkachuk party?
Well, we had, obviously, all of us. My daughter came in Friday. We had my parents and, you know, the boys' girlfriends, Matt, Brady's fiance. Then we had some friends from St. Louis. So it was great. We had a suite for the All-Star game and the skills competition, and had a nice party bus going to the rink and back. So everything was all taken care of. The boy, I will say the boys did a great job of taking care of us for once.
I wanted the camera on the suite more than the skills competition of the game, because I had more fun watching you guys.
Yeah, we had a blast. My mom was very emotional, and Brady, Matthew gave her the truck after the game, after he won the truck. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, you know what? It's not very often both get to play in the All-Star game. They did in St. Louis, but I think with them being on the same team, it was that much better. So, and you know, it was a fun weekend, something we'll never forget, and who knows if it'll ever happen again.
Well, because you guys had the game in St. Louis, so that was a thrill for everybody. I can't imagine that there was an expectation that you could top that.
Yeah, especially Brady was a late add, and they had to find him somewhere in the Bahamas or something to bring him back. So this one we knew well in advance. They both made it. They both have had good starts to the year. So there was a lot of planning into it, and I think our family does a very good job of planning and throwing, you know, some of these get-togethers like we had at the draft when both guys got drafted, and just special events when they play each other. So this was a heck of a weekend, and something we'll never forget.
Did you talk to Monty, Jim Montgomery, about the boys playing together? I know Chantel.
No, Monty texted me. He goes, "Well, he sent me a funny text. I've known Monty way back. You know, he's been from the St. Louis, even before when he played there. And, you know, he's a great guy. He's a funny guy. And he said, well, you can't do anything about it. You didn't want to come to Denver. You didn't want to come to Dubuque when I coach. You have no say whatsoever. And by the way, I want you to be my assistant coach. I said, not a chance.
Really? He asked you to do that?
Yeah. He goes, I don't know if the league will let me, but I want you to be my assistant coach.
Well, you played in five, so you know what goes on down there. Why didn't you do it?
Oh, no. I'm happy where I was. I had a good time up there.
So there's a couple of things that I want to go through the course of the weekend. One was you reacting to the slap shot goal. What was going through your head?
Well, I was just my daughter wanted me to do something. She had me on, and you know, I just didn't think he was going to do something like that. You know, but he does stuff like that. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he kind of gets a bad name thinking he's like this all-time pest, but what he does have is skill, and I didn't think he was going to pull a shot off like that. So, you know, I feel bad for the goalies in these events, but it was kind of an inside joke between me and my daughter. So we had a lot of fun. Plus my mom was crying every 2 seconds.
So you guys knew that was coming?
Well, no, it's just me and my daughter laughing. But she goes, you better do something if he scores, you know, the next goal or something. Like, we're just screwing around up there.
Because Taryn was all over you, pointing right away.
Yeah. So, you know, we had fun with it. I mean, we had a blast. I mean, that's what we do. We have fun with each other. And, you know, Taryn loved it as much as the boys did.
Would you have done something like that? Or did you do something like that in an all-star game? You played in five?
Yeah, I don't think I've done that. I was more a little bit in tighter in those games around the net. So, no, I don't think I had I probably had the shot to do it, but I didn't have the guts to pull it off.
What was it like for the boys when you got a chance to reflect with them on what happened?
Well, Brady had to leave, but it's just something that, you know, we had so much fun from at the rink, off the rink, and just being all together as family again, which is hard to do with everybody living in different spots. And, you know, it doesn't happen very often because everybody's busy, and, you know, Brady's going to has a busy schedule. Matthew does. My daughter's in school, and, you know, we have a lot of free time in our hands, my wife and I. So it's just something that we'll just enjoy and always remember.
These things are usually like built for the moms. They soak it in, and Chantel obviously did. But I thought it looked like you really absorbed it all.
Yeah, because you don't know when it's going to happen again. You know, it's something that you're proud of, and they both worked hard to get here. It's not easy getting here. And then for Matthew to do it in Florida, where, you know, he has a place, we can all hunker down here and we can host people and friends that we've known for a lot of time, you know, a long time, and really get to enjoy it. And especially, you know, with the temperature and the weather like this in Florida. So, and Matthew being here his first year, there's a lot of pressure. And I think, you know, just playing with his brother and then having Barkov with them and being coached by Monty and then eventually winning the all-star game. So I was happy for the boys.
How did it go about giving away the car and presenting the car to grandma?
Yeah, we waited for Matthew after the game. He came out and told his grandmother it's hers. So, and she gets all emotional if you just say hi to her. So, I mean, she's all about 5'4", 4'9". So a little Irish lady with red hair. She was all pumped. So she was really thrilled. She hasn't stopped crying since.
Did you have a say in what Matthew did for the breakaway challenge?
No, they kind of get a little feedback from the league on what to do. And, you know, yeah, and I thought he pulled it off pretty good, and especially with Brady there sitting there in the chair, you know, and Barkov with his, you know, lifeguard outfit on. I thought it was pretty cool. And, you know, and Roberto and that being such an icon here, I thought it was great. And, you know, I couldn't believe he pulled it off, but he did. And it was fun to see him do that.
What would Walt have done?
I would have opted out. I would have came down and tried to shoot and missed the net. And that's what I did in Montreal when I played an all-star game. It was like a challenge. You keep scoring, you stay in. And I'm like, dude, I'm missing this. I'm going right to the locker room and getting out of there.
Is that what you did?
Yeah. Yeah. I was out early. Yeah. That's what everybody shot. Like, if you missed, it was an actual shootout. And the donor ended up winning or something, or somebody like that. And,
I think you're right.
Yeah. So, wow. I was like, I'm not going to win this. I'm like, you know, everybody's here waiting for me. So I went in, missed it, went right off the ice.
I talked to, we texted back and forth when the guys were in town for the media tour in Vegas and we were going back and forth. Who would you text back first, me or Matthew? Of course, Matthew won that because he played dirty because he was talking about Brady's birthday the night before. That's our previous episode of The Chirp. I'm really curious, when you look at their two skill sets, what would you take from Brady? What would you take from Matthew if you could steal something?
Wow. I think Brady's skill set is he's got an underrated shot. You know, he really does. And he's got that power in his when he hits. Matthew has that savviness that he'll try anything and every time, you know, and they both try that play around the net with the, between their legs and different things. But I can never pull that off, nor would I want it, because I just, you know, back then it was like, you can't do that without getting beat up by somebody, you know. So, but they do have that in between the legs kind of handsy, you know, savviness, which I love. Which I don't think I've ever had.
I thought you might say nothing because you have 500 goals.
No. You know, then my wife would get mad at me. It's all about the boys, she said, not about you.
Well, that's the interesting part. Like, you played in a bunch of All-Star games, and yet there you are having all kinds of fun. How different was it? Were you able to go down to the room and see some of the current players?
No, I stayed away from that. Yeah. It's, you know, I like where I was with my people, you know, and, but it's pretty cool, you know, especially, you know, when I brought them to a couple All-Star games in Minnesota, I forget the year, they were young, but they took pictures with everybody. Then in the All-Star game in Montreal, they're old enough where I can let them go anywhere, which is probably still not great letting them wander everywhere, but they took a lot of pictures. And then they, you know, redid those pictures however long later with the same guys, like with Crosby and with Ovechkin, and it looked awesome. You know, they were two little kids, you know, walking around taking pictures with their idols. Now they're in the same dressing room with their idols, playing in the same game with their idols. So I thought that was pretty cool, reliving that experience.
You had a couple of 5-point games. Were you nervous the other night that he was going to one-up you?
I wasn't there. So I actually left Monday to go up to Boston and watch the Beanpot because I'm scouting for St. Louis. Yeah. And I flew back yesterday. So Matthew's girlfriend and Chantel said, you know, things are going pretty good here. I go, what's going on there? I'm like, holy, I'm looking at my phone, it's blowing up. And I'm like, then they said to me, you're not allowed to come back. So because he plays better when I'm not there. I was impressed because usually you'd have a little bit of a, you know, All-Star break hangover, and I don't mean that in terms of actually being hungover, but, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of stuff he was doing both on and off the ice with the Fan Fest and everything. And you thought he might be a little tired, and you're playing your division rival in Tampa. So I was quite surprised, you know, they were able to do as well as they did. And obviously Matthew having 5 points was, well, I wasn't expecting that, but that was pretty cool to see.
Do you remember your 5-point games?
No. I know I had 4 goals in a game, so I'm assuming that's one of them games.
That was one of them, but one was against Dallas. It was 4-1. Okay. That was the 4-goal game. I actually did some research, Walt. And the other one was a hat trick with 2 assists. You were +5 in the game against Dallas. So good.
Oh, wow.
Playing both games on the ice, buddy.
Well, I can't believe that. I just got lucky. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what I did yesterday.
How's the golf game? Because I wanted to get to that based on my conversation with Matthew back in September.
It's getting worse every year. So I don't
know. He said that.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie to you. He said that.
The last couple of years has been awful. Like, I don't know. And plus, you know, when I'm playing with them, they're kicking my butts right now. And that's probably making it even worse, you know, because they hit the ball so far and they're so good now. And I don't know. I got to figure it out this summer. This spring, I'm actually going to work on the game a little bit so I'm not embarrassed every time I play with them.
Well, I think it was right around the time that you came back from Europe and things didn't go well there.
Oh, awful. I had a bad trip, a terrible trip. I was terrible. I just had the yips and I was just, you know, it wasn't good. It was fun. I had a blast, but you'd like to play a little bit better playing the old course and Carnoustie and Kings Barnes. Those are great courses, you know, and just didn't go my way.
You played the old course?
Yeah, we played the old course and then Kings Barnes and there's nothing bad, worse than playing at Carnoustie when you're not playing well, because that course is really difficult.
Yeah. Well, Matthew's game sounds like it's been really good. And
yeah, just ask him.
Yeah. But I did, and he liked
it. Oh, yeah. It's Carl confidence. Yeah, of course.
Well, he said that he you have come back to him in his game, and he can chirp Brady, and he just owns Brady by working him. So that's how he wins the family games.
Yeah, Brady doesn't take his credit. Brady doesn't have the comebacks like Matthew is. Matthew can get in your head, and he can really get in your head. Brady's first instinct when Matthew yells at him is, or says something to him is, all right, fight me. You know, that's just, so
where'd
that's
you get that from?
I don't know. He's nuts. So I go, why do you let it bother you, Brady? Just grab him, and then he will stop doing it. At least
how many times do you think you and Chantel have said that to him over the course of his lifetime?
Well, a lot. But Brady's like 6'4 now. I'm like, come on, buddy. You know, Matthew's only 6'1, 6'2. You should be able to handle him.
It's funny you bring that up because I was shocked at how tall Brady was when he walked into the room.
He keeps getting bigger. I mean, he's just turned 23 in September. So he's still pretty young. And I don't think people realize that. So he just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I mean, he's growing. Like and I can see it. You know, his body catching up to him, like his strength. And you can see it this year in his play. It's really, before it was like a gangly and, you know, having trouble. But now he's really filling out. And he looks good and he's getting stronger. And it shows in his game right now.
Are you impressed by their leadership qualities?
You know, they've both been around the rinks a long time. And they know how to act. And I think they know how to handle themselves. And they respect, you know, the older veteran guys and rely on a lot of their help. And, you know, I think it's great. I mean, if you can add that element to your game, that's going to keep you around for a long time. And it's going to help your team success. And, you know, I'm really impressed with how they've handled themselves in that situation.
You mentioned earlier that Matthew had the party for the trainers and the support staff.
Yeah.
That were working the All-Star game. That's a big outreach.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important. I mean, I spent some of my best friends in hockey with the trainers, and those guys are don't get the recognition they deserve. They do a lot of work for the players. They're there the first. They're the last ones to leave. And I just think they're tremendous people. And I hope my kids, and I know they do a good job of helping them out. And, you know, they're a main part of your hockey team. You know, they're there all the time. Sometimes they act as shrinks for players. They really do. I mean, you know, they help out in different areas where, you know, you can't find that help. And they're with you every day. And they know you probably better than your parents do over the last couple of years. And they see how you are and they help out a lot. And something they'll never forget. They have to be a part of that.
Who were a couple of guys that you leaned on?
Well, I had Zinger in Winnipeg. I had Stan Wilson. You know, we had our staff in St. Louis with Ray and Bert. Tony DaCosta in Minnesota, who's not that much older than me, Frosty. We had a great crew of guys. Gord Hart, who's a Canadian, who was with us in Winnipeg in Arizona. Just great guys that I've been around. And now, you know, meeting some of my son's, you know, same trainers and medical guys, it's great. You know, they were great in Calgary, exceptional. They're exceptional here in Florida. They're exceptional in Ottawa. I mean, Brady loves his trainers too. And I think that's important. You have to take care of the trainers.
What were your conversations with Zinger like? Did Craig Heisinger, the now Winnipeg Jets assistant general manager, but he was equipment manager way back when, would he give it to you like pretty?
Oh, first of all, he was as honest as you can get, and he was probably like a big brother to me. Helped me out when I did something stupid, which happened a lot, according to him. So, you know, he was a great role model for me and helped me out in great, you know, difficult times sometimes. And he was always there, and I spent a lot of time with him. It's great seeing him around the rink scouting and stuff.
What's the transition been like? Well, you like where Matthew is because you get to crash and be in Florida, but what's it been like for him?
He loves it. I mean, you know, it's obviously something that happened quickly over the summer. And then, you know, you're like, there's so much that goes into it for him. So I think between Matthew's girlfriend and Chantel, who has a lot of time on her hands, came and helped out and tried to get things situated. He's in the house. You know, you're in a new environment, a new city. And, you know, the rink's a little bit of a way. They have their practice rinks not done yet. So there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, it's different things, meet your new teammates. And when a big deal like that happens, you know, it's huge. It's a ripple effect in the locker room. So you want to make sure I think he's coming and done a good job of, you know, really, you know, getting to know the guys. And I think it's showing right now. And he's done a pretty good job. And, you know, they started off slow, and that's what happens a little bit when you go to a new team and a big deal like that. But hopefully they're trending in the right direction right now. But it's been a lot of fun for him. He's enjoying himself. He's happy. I can see it. And it's showing on the ice.
Yeah, his transition on the ice has been seamless.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's been some ups and downs, but I think, you know, overall he's done a decent job. And, you know, he wants to do well here. He wants to win here. And he wants to help this team get in the playoffs. And, you know, there's some adjustments. They've run through some injuries. They have a new coach. It's a lot that was thrown at the team, I think, you know, quickly over the summer, especially when they won the President's Trophy. So, you know, I think you're starting to see it settle in now. And I think you're starting to see the effects and going in a positive way. But he's been, you know, he's done a good job.
What's the golf cart like?
I love taking that out. I take it out all the time. I really do. You know, it's a six-seater. It's not, you know, it's souped up. You know, you can get around. Everybody has golf carts around here. So go for dinner. We take the golf cart out. It's great. And just drive it around. And, you know, you're very close to the beach. So it's nice.
Are you a beach guy?
Yeah. Chantal and I like to walk up there every day. So it's been fun.
Yeah.
How's she doing? It's awesome.
By the way, it was great to see her the other night and talking to everybody and having so much fun.
Yeah, it's you know she's really gets sentimental like my mother about, you know, seeing her kids in an all-star game and being able to share this with everybody, our close friends and family. So I just show up, they do all the work, and, you know, I reap the benefits, I guess.
Who's the crazy person on the weekend that you look back and go, can you believe what so-and-so did?
Rumor has it, my wife said me.
So, really?
There was a couple that was up first start this week, and it wasn't Matthew and Brady.
what's next for Matthew and Brady? What do you think the next step in their games?
Well, I think Ottawa, you know, Ottawa's the difficult thing about Ottawa, which I think they've done a good job of tying up a lot of their young players. And I think you're seeing the young players really step up right now. I think a lot has to do with bringing guys like DeBrincat, who's still young, but, you know, Giroux. But you got to remember, they're playing in the most difficult division with, you know, your Boston's, your Toronto's, your Tampa. You know, now you see Florida making a run. So, you know, and Buffalo is in the same category as Ottawa. I think Ottawa's in a great situation. I think if they keep building and stay the course and not try to rush this, and I know it's difficult because people want to see them make the playoffs and the players want to make the playoffs, but they're heading in the right direction. You know, Tim Stützle is an all-star. He's a phenomenal player. He's a star in this league, and you'll see him continue to get better. And, you know, so I like that. I think DJ Smith has done an excellent job, you know, but they're still in that building process. And it just, you don't want to go away from that. You want to keep the, you know, keep going in this right direction. I think you'll see them, you know, Batherson's a heck of a player. Stützle, I mean, you got Josh Norris, who's hurt. You got the Sanderson, who's going to be a steal at number five. You know, and they got some, I know I'm missing guys. Pinto was a great player. And, you know, you still got some good pieces. They've drafted well. Now you got to maybe turn some of these guys. Ridley Gregg was outstanding the last bunch of games. So they have the pieces there. I don't think you should trade those pieces, but at some point you have to find a way to bring in some, you know, veteran guys to get them to that next level. And I think they're going to be there at some point.
And Florida?
Florida, they're an exciting team to watch. I will say they run and gun, and they're exciting team to watch. You know, they're in a tough division, obviously, and they got, you know, some work to do. But, you know, they've gotten better, and they're gonna have to make a run to make the playoffs. As simple as that. I mean, it's tough to make the playoffs when you put yourself in a bad position. But, you know, Barkov is, you know, I never got to watch Florida as much being in St. Louis. I was more of a Western Conference guy, and you know, I can't believe how good he is. I mean, he's a stud. I mean, he's a big, strong, skates well, and does a lot of great things. And he's a true number one center. And you don't just find him. I mean, he is one of the top players in the league. And I think he's still underrated. I know he makes $10 million a year, but he's still an underrated player.
It feels like the East is what the West used to be. And they flipped.
Yeah, I see the East is. I'm not saying this because the boys are there, and I would have said that last year. The East is slightly better. I mean, it is, and it's tougher. I mean, there's no games where you walk away, oh, we got this one. I mean, any team can win on a given night in Boston. What they've shown, Jim Montgomery, I mean, it's incredible how good they've been. And, you look at the Metro Division too. I mean, Carolina, you know, they keep flip-flopping, but Jersey's had a heck of a run. You know, they got some great young talent. So, I mean, the Rangers will be there, and then, you know, somebody's going to miss it.
Wanted to pick your brain on this before I let you go. My day job is obviously hosting with the Vegas Golden Knights, and we're on the road day off today in Minnesota, St. Paul Hotel, which I'm sure you stayed at before.
Yeah.
It's the dad's trip right now, and I love watching all the fathers go through the meetings and hanging out with the with their sons. You've been on a couple, right?
I was on this year. I went to both of them this year.
You did?
And they're back-to-back, and I'm telling you, that was tough.
Where did you go? What were the cities?
With Brady, Ottawa, we went to Dallas and Nashville. And then with Matthew, we went to Jersey, but we're in New York City, and then Boston. And I'm telling you, I needed a rest after that trip. Like, I'm telling you, I needed a good two, three week rest. It was a great one. We had a blast. All the dads were awesome. Both organizations, first class. The kids had a blast, you know. I forget what it was, it was unbelievable. They did an excellent job. And, you know, I want to do this again next year, but I think I have to alternate it. I can't do both in one year. It's just too tough for the age of 50.
Well, but you've lived the life, and I was curious what it was like for you as a dad.
You know, it's good. I love it. I expect it. I don't take it for granted, but I love to see the reaction of the dads when you do this certain thing, when you're in the meetings and, you know, the pregame, these guys eat like kings. They get treated like kings, you know, on the planes. And it's just, I just look around and smile. And I could tell these guys are, you know, not a lot of them got to go on a private plane or, you know what's happening, you know, as a fan. You don't know what the guys are doing underneath the 6-6-3. You're down there, you see it. And it's just, it's fun. And the kids play hard. They do. I mean, They play hard, and I think both teams had some sort of success. They both at least won a game on the trip, so it was nice to see, and everybody got a chance to play, and it was fun. I'm so happy for all the dads, and I'm sure next year the moms will go or whatever they decide to do.
Be honest with me. Did you get chills when you sat in a meeting and listened to the coaches talk again?
Well, my thing, when I go to meetings, I usually pick a buddy on the dad, one of the dads. And I liked when the coach is talking, I like to call that person, that dad's phone number, because usually these guys leave it on. And all of a sudden, I did that to Bob Hannifin in Calgary. That phone went off so loud in the meeting. His son, Noah, was so mad at him. He was like, you know, and I did it to Dwayne Norris this year, I believe, in Nashville. So I love doing that.
You haven't changed at all.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Hey, congratulations. I seriously, we watched on the weekend, and being on television and seeing you and Taryn and Chantel and the whole family, it was just fabulous to watch that side of it. And really, really happy for you guys. Thanks for doing this.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Some of the best parts of my conversations on this podcast are stuff that I just throw in. Just randomly. It's not even stuff that Bob wants me to talk about. It's the furthest from what Bob Bender wants me to talk about. But that little bit about Walt phoning another dad's cell phone in the middle of a meeting with the coach and making the phone ring in the middle of a meeting, that is the best thing that I got out of today. And there was a lot of cool things there, including the golf cart. And remember, we sat down with Matthew at the Player Media Tour in September in Vegas and went through a lot of little tidbits that we brought up with Matthew Tkachuk. But that little part about pranking other dads, that is vintage Walt. Don't change. And if he's talking about 50s slowing down, come on, buddy. Yeah, you're looking good. Want to get to a couple of things to just jumping out. The New York Islanders made the big trade with Bo Horvat. He scored. The Islanders are rolling right now. It's going to be a great playoff race down the final third of the season. Washington, Pittsburgh, everybody. I think the New York Rangers are going to have to play really, really good hockey to be able to hold on to that top three position. But the Bo Horvat trade just is a bit of a mystery to me, because I've talked to a couple of people about this. Horvat to the Islanders is important.
Now, he's a center. He can play. They're going to move some people around Barzal. So it's not that big of a deal. He gives them scoring. They need some scoring. But they're really deep at the center ice position now. That's great for the New York Islanders. They give him the contract. It was a no-brainer. Eight years, 8.5. But am I the only one that went 8.5? Like, is Vancouver looking at that going, we thought maybe the number was going to be higher than that? Or we expected the number to be higher than that. I expected the number to be higher than that. That maybe it was 8.5. Could Vancouver have found a way to get it to 8 and make it work and kept Bo Horvat? So there's a little bit of reflection on this, thinking, was there a way to salvage it with the Vancouver Canucks? But here's the biggest issue I have with the trade, and it comes from the Vancouver Canuck angle. What they received in the deal, good players, very serviceable players. I think they'll get a lot out of this. What you do with the future is totally up to you in turning those assets into regular National Hockey Leaguers. But the biggest deficiency in Vancouver is on their blue line. They didn't acquire anything to address that. And now coming into the trade deadline, they're talking about somebody like Luke Shen. Is he going to be traded? Like, it's whittling it down. How do you fill that? If that was your biggest trade piece, you had to get something back on that blue line. That's the way I looked at it. And I thought maybe I was missing something. So I checked around, and there's a lot of similar opinions to that as I worked my way around the hockey world. So that's one area. One, Vancouver, could they have got it done? 8.5 or 8? Would they have gone down that road? Or was there a way to get something that addressed your needs a little bit more on the blue line side of it? The other thing that I want to point out is Connor McDavid. Keep an eye on him because he's really good. He's making things happen with his point streak. That continues to run. I think we might be looking at it. There's no way he's going to go 40 games with this thing, but every night, like, it's not just 1 point, it's 2 points. Should have had three. He owned the Detroit Red Wings the other night. The best move that he made, he actually didn't even score on. But keep an eye on the road point streak and the overall point streak that Connor McDavid is racking up right now. And David Pastrnak is an all-world player. We know that, but having got a chance to watch him in person a couple of times this year, it's absolutely mind-blowing. And he's a better personality than he is a player, and he's like world class as a player. What he's been able to do and grab our attention. I was with some people that weren't necessarily tried and true hockey people during the skills competition, and they kept looking at me, going, "Who's that guy? What's that guy?" Like they were engaged with David Pastrnak, and they didn't know who David Pastrnak was. So I think that deserves a big stick tap from the Boston Bruin forward, and he's going to get paid. It's going to be awesome, but that's something that we should really acknowledge in the sense of he's a personality and he's at the top of the game, and stars that are personalities on this podcast, we're all in favor of that. Trade deadline is coming up. We're inside of a month to that. Mark Stone is out with the Vegas Golden Knights. Will they be looking for a winger? A right winger? Is it Vladimir Tarasenko? Is it Patrick Kane? There's going to be a lot going on here. What happens with the St. Louis sell-off? How deep does Doug Armstrong go? I think it's going to be pretty significant. That's my assessment of it. I think this is the opportunity where if you're going to make major changes, and he's been close a couple of times over the last few years to make major changes, is this an opportunity to do just a real reset? And there's more beyond just Tarasenko, O'Reilly. You got Barbashev, you got Achari. So there's some things going on there that with pieces and assets with the St. Louis Blues, and it goes deeper than just the frontline players. Chicago, obviously. I see Kane in New York City. Am I going to be wrong on that? We'll see. But will they, and I keep hearing this, will they move one of those top picks that they've had, Lafreniere and Kako? Will they move one of those pieces for a Patrick Kane and something else? Does that help make that deal work? There's going to have to be other things to make the money work, but a one. Again, a little bit of what I'm hearing about potential compensation for Patrick Kane. And going back to Chicago, our buddy Max Domi, he's on an expiring contract. We had a great time with him at the Player Media Tour, one of the earlier episodes this year. Check that out. We had a whole bunch of fun with Max. I think he's found his game again, and he's been really good. And I think that that's an area that if somebody wants to acquire somebody, depth, but ability to play up in the lineup, a little bit of sandpaper, I would love to see Max Domi get a shot. I love the guy. And two, I think he's a real good player that has kind of fallen back a little bit from the spotlight. I think he might be able to grab somebody like that for a real push in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll keep you updated as we move along towards the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the next mile marker before we get there will be the National Hockey League trade line deadline on Friday, March 3rd. Friday. You know how many trade deadlines I did over the course of my life? Like 10-hour days, and they're always Mondays or Tuesdays. And now it's a Friday where I could do it and then go and just sleep for a few days. They were always at the start of the week, and then you have to grind your way through the week. I'm a little bit sour when I saw that it was a Friday this year. A couple of things keep in mind. The Matthew Tkachuk episode was the first one of season three. Check that out. You can get your double dose of the Tkachuks with Keith today and go back and listen to Matthew. And we had a great time when he was in Vegas. And check out the NHL Puck Line. It's on YouTube every Tuesday and Thursday. That's when it comes. And it's a great new offering. Give you a little bit of insight into if you want to dip a toe into the world of wagering in the National Hockey League. Lauren Jabara and Todd Furman do that one. And it's Tuesday and Thursday. Just started. It's over on YouTube. Google it. It's easy to find. I checked it out this morning as I was in the cab. Uber on my way from the St. Paul airport over to the St. Paul hotel where I'm now going to go to sleep. For a long time, for a really long time, as we continue on the road trip. I like being on the road, I do, but I really like sleep too, so I'm kind of caught in between. Thanks for listening to The Chirp with Darren Millard. Walt, I love you, buddy. I don't know whether you listen to the podcast that you're on, but I do love you. And send us your comments, smash the like button, and let us know what you thought of a little bit of old school, a little bit of new school, and a whole bunch of love with the Tkachuk family on The Chirp with Darren Millard.